There was a young woman who worked with pigeons. In the days when pigeons were used to carry messages from place to place. She came from a long line of pigeon handlers. It had run in her family for generations. But she was regarded as especially talented. "She has the gift," they would say, "and she'll go far." And far meant working for an earl or a duke, or even in the royal household. This just made her father worried. "Don't aim too high. You might be good, but wouldn't you be happier working for the Lord in the manor, like your mother and grandmother before you?" But it wasn't just pigeons. She had a way with all birds. She was often in the forest, and she knew the calls of every bird there and could mimic them exactly. Birds of all description would crowd around her, and she would speak to them, coo to them, and sing to them. They'd land on her head, clamber on her arms and shoulders. Sometimes she'd be so covered in birds that all you could see of her were her legs. And that was what the prince saw one day. He'd been riding in the woods with the royal hunting party when he saw her, covered with birds. He approached her gingerly and was amazed at the way she spoke and sang and cooed to the birds that crowded all around her. He rode his horse a little closer, and a branch snapped, and suddenly all the birds flew away at once. And there she was, standing there, staring at him, looking rather startled. He found her rather attractive. "My father would have use for someone like you." And it all happened so quickly. Her old father couldn't stop it. By royal command, no less, she was appointed the king's pigeon handler, and within a few weeks, she was travelling in a fine carriage to the royal court. The old pigeon handler had recently died and had left things in a sorry state. And as soon as she arrived, she set to work, cleaning out the dovecot, making friends with all the pigeons, fixing up their feeding stations and their nesting places. But no sooner had she gotten things in order than word came that war was brewing with a rival king. The need for pigeons was urgent, for sending messages to neighbouring allies and getting ready for war. And so she was busy. And all the time, the prince was finding excuses to come and visit. She was more and more intriguing to him. He persuaded her to let him accompany her to the forest. And he watched in amazement as the birds came to her and landed upon her just like before. "You are gifted," he said. "They say I'm just weird." "No, you are an amazingly gifted person. But what's your gift for?" "Not for preparing your father's army for war, I feel. When I become king, there will be no more wars. I'll make peace with all my father's enemies." For the first time, she found him attractive. Well, the war blew over and was short-lived. But the king was a restless and aggressive man who thought in terms of battles to be won. The next war was never far away. so she was kept busy. The prince kept her busy too, asking her many questions about everything she did and how she managed to communicate with the birds like that. And then suddenly, the old king died. All the years of aggression and stress took their toll on him. And so now, the prince was the king. And he appointed her to the role of royal advisor, which everyone at court thought utterly ridiculous, to which he responded, "If I am to find a way of ruling my kingdom without creating endless wars, I will need some different advice." And so now, when delicate political matters came to be decided upon, the old advisers were shunted aside, and out he went to the forest with her. And he'd talk and talk about all of his problems, and she'd speak her mind. And just sitting in the woods, talking with her, surrounded by birds, the answers would come, and he'd know the right thing to do. Well, things seemed to go well for a time, but then a neighbouring kingdom, with a smouldering grudge from the old king's time, declared war. "What should I do?" he asked her. "I have no idea. I can't advise you on such things." "But you must. The peace of the kingdom depends upon it." So she did what she always did. She went to the forest. And she called and cooed and sang to the birds, and they crowded around her. At times it seemed as if she was buried in birds. Suddenly, she turned to him. "I know what we need to do."
"What?"
"Where does this kingdom lie?"
To the west, by the sea. But it's a long way."
"Then we'll have to wait a while. I'll send out the call." And so she did, via the birds. And every day, the king would go to the forest with her, where she'd talk and coo and sing with the birds. "Any news?"
"No, but I hear rumours that they'll be here soon."
And so it was that one day a large flock of birds descended upon the forest. Birds from the sea, quite unlike those from the forest. And they landed upon her, and she stood there and sang and spoke and listened. And it went on for a long time. And then suddenly they all flew away. She returned to the king.
"We must go there, you and I,
and we need to bring a lot of birds." And so they went. And it was a long way, and the royal retinue travelled for days, with her in one carriage, filled with birds in cages, and the king in another, with his old mother, who was very, very sceptical.
"If your father was here," he wished he'd left her at home, "I don't know what you think you're doing."
When they arrived, the old king smouldered at them, hatred and revenge in his eyes.
"Why have you come? I thought we'd be meeting on the battlefield, not like this. And what's with the birds? And who's that?"
And it turned out that this king was very fond of birds, and kept many in cages in the palace, and some in aviaries and courtyards, and the peace of those places was all that had saved him from an early death, unlike his old enemy. And he was charmed
with all the gifts that she'd brought, of birds unlike any he'd seen before. And he was fascinated by her way with birds. He showed her his birds and was amazed at how she at once began to speak and coo and sing to them. And they were invited to stay longer and longer and longer, until all the old animosity had melted away, and when they departed, it was no longer as enemies, but as friends. And on the way home, the Queen Mother was silent. And shortly after that, he took the pigeon girl as his bride, and there was no one to speak against it. And so now she roamed over the whole kingdom and listened to all the birds. And she brought him news of everything that was awry, such that it could be addressed before disaster struck. And he loved her all the more for this. But in time, she became pensive. Something is coming. She spent more and more time in the palace gardens, always looking up. Something's coming, but I don't know what it is.
A bird? Said the king.
Something big.
A big bird?
I don't know, but it's all I can hear.
Hear?
But I can't hear anything.
And then she revealed that she could always hear birds with her mind before she heard them with her ears. And now all she could hear was the call of this big bird. But whereas in the past she would roam around the kingdom, hearing the calls and setting off to find the trouble, now she didn't know where to go. It wasn't out there.
It was up.
She became very restless. She'd often get out of bed in the middle of the night, and the king would wake up to find her gone, only to discover her outside, standing in the palace gardens, always looking up. One night, he saw her circling around and around in the wind, her arms flapping, her hair flying. And then suddenly, a strong light flooded the gardens. A strong light flooded the gardens, and a huge bird swept out of the sky. A huge bird swept out of the sky, and she opened her arms. And it took her away. And she was gone for weeks. The king was distraught. Search parties were raised, but where would they look? Eventually, she returned dishevelled but happy. She had stories of a land above the sky where these birds lived, and in truth, they were not really birds at all, but beings of great wisdom who'd been seeking a way of communicating with people for years. But all of their attempts so far had failed. Writing in the crops, appearing in visions, nobody understood what they were trying to communicate. "But I understand," she said. And so it was that she'd be gone for weeks at a time, returning dishevelled but happier each time. And for hours and hours she would tell the king everything she'd learned. "And I'd been their jester. I had been, but I found it really hard to listen to their conversations. One time I was so confused that I forgot my place entirely and just blurted out, 'No one will understand this.'" The king swung around in his seat and just stared at me. "But they must. I want my whole kingdom to know about this." "But how will you communicate any of it?" They thought a while, and then she said, "You know that time that you just told a story?"
"Well, that was just a little thing."
"No, but it really held my attention. How about you tell stories about this?"
"Well, I don't know about that."
"Right then, next time you're coming with me." I didn't much fancy that. Hanging around in the gardens at night. But every time the queen would get up, she'd get me up too.
"Does it have to be this late?"
"Yes, come on." And we stood there in the gardens for hours and hours. But nothing happened. They wouldn't come when I was out there with her. At least, not at first. But after many nights of us going out together, in the dead of night, waiting around for hours and hours, suddenly, the garden was bathed in light. And two huge birds swept out of the sky. Two huge birds swept out of the sky, and we opened our arms, and they carried us away. And I never felt such awe or such amazement in my entire life. That was just the flight. Arriving in their realm, a place of heavenly light, far, far above the sky, was beyond words for me. It's hard to describe it. But I will. I must. The Queen has compelled me to. So first, let me talk about the love. Such sweet and tender love was there. Let me talk about the forgiveness. Such sweet and tender forgiveness. Let me talk about the healing. Such sweet and tender healing was there. And let me talk about the joy. Such sweet and tender joy was there. And when we returned, the Queen said, "There, now you understand. Can you tell stories about that?"
Could I go up again?"
And so the next time she was waiting in the garden in the dead of night, I got to join her again. But as we stood there, I heard a voice in the bushes, a musician. And she said,
"Can I come along too?"
And the Queen said, "Of course,
the more the merrier."
And the next time, it was a poet, and then an artist, and then a teacher, a builder, a baker, a king, until the whole kingdom was transformed.
How?
Well, let me tell you about the love. For there was amongst the people of that kingdom such a strong and powerful love. And let me tell you about the forgiveness. Because there was amongst the people of that kingdom a strong and powerful forgiveness. And let me tell you about the healing. Because there was amongst the people of that kingdom a strong and powerful healing. And let me tell you about the joy. Because there was amongst the people of that kingdom a strong and powerful joy. And in that place, there was no need for my stories. But in this world, there's a lot. So I'll keep telling stories until this world resembles that one. Although I don't exactly know how many stories that's gonna take. We'll just have to find out.